Tech, UNC, Florida State, the maybe fresh question of the week, and how coaches handle criticism. Hello, everyone. Welcome to the Jay Willie Show. I'm your host, Mark Jerome, alongside my main man, Jason Williford.
What's up, Jay Will?
Are you good from the other night? How have you recovered?
I'm good. We ran into a little bit of a buzzsaw, but I'm good.
All right. We'll get to that in a minute. No YB tonight. YB's on YB Wednesdays. We're going to miss him.
Hey, he's doing actually a pretty neat thing. Best hip hop verse of all time. And so I guess he's playing like his top songs and the best verses that he deems. It was interesting because the guys and I were discussing this last week in practice, and I had to call YB up. I said, give me your top five so I could look like I know what I'm doing with the guys. So I gave them some, they were like, oh, Jay Willie, that's hot. I have no idea. Yuri just gave me like five of them. I can't remember songs or titles or anything.
I'm not very good at that either, but we got to go back to top five lyrics with him next week. What were the kids saying? I'm sure they were anointing like all the new guys as the top.
No, it was interesting. They actually said there were very few new guys. Mm. And they went with, you know, some of the pioneers or the legends of hip, Biggie, Pop, Jay-Z, Nas. I was shocked by that.
I'm very surprised. Did they mention any new dudes?
They had like Drake and J. Cole and Weezy. Those guys. But I was shocked that they even, you know, Nas even came out of half of their miles. But they knew.
I am a little surprised at that as well. So we hope YB's show goes great. Do you want to try a rendition of the Jay Willie music?
No.
You sure?
No. I'm positive.
Okay. We'll get the real deal next week.
No doubt.
He's done such a good job creating, and he's limited down to one now, I think. He's back on one rendition, right?
The one that I like the most.
Yeah, absolutely. Because he made about five of them. That's pretty impressive, though. Again, I go back to this, that you have your own show, you have your own shirt, you have your own mask, and you have your own five songs.
Yeah, because it's my boy. It's my college roommate. It's only because it's my college roommate that I get a song. But the other stuff, it's all T-Dub. It's all locker room access. So
you should know that you're probably the only coach in Division 1, 2, 3, NAIA, junior college that probably has his own show, his own music, his own
Crazy. It's crazy. No, I don't know about that. Like, I know Red up in Syracuse does a show. Because where we stay at the hotel whenever we're in Syracuse, that the bar there, I always go and grab food the night I check in. I grab some late night snack, and that's where he does his show. So
lots of coaches have shows.
Yeah.
But does he have his own music?
Yeah.
Does he have his own shirt? Did you see a Red Autry shirt?
I did not, no.
Red's a good dude. I like Red too.
Good dude.
Yeah, real good dude. All right. And I just want to also mention this before I forget, because I likely would after this is I pour myself a pretty healthy glass tonight.
It's a big pour.
Yeah. Do you ever celebrate?
Celebrate when?
On the sidelines? Yeah. Like if you guys win or get a bucket?
Oh, yeah.
All right. I got to get T-Dubs at some point. Hopefully we can get it before the show, if not the next show or the pregame show, Saturday night against Duke. My guy, Carlin Hartman, associate head coach at Oklahoma.
Yeah.
That's my dude. He celebrates. Some of his celebrations are crazy when they win or whatever.
No, I don't go too crazy, but Jay's dunk at Georgia Tech where he gets that rebound loose ball. I'm up celebrating that one. That was a big bucket. Like we needed that basket, so that was good. I think the entire bench was up on that one. That was pretty sweet.
What was your celebration? Did you just jump
it
up?
It was like a fist pump, but I stood up and I gave it a fist pump. So that's about all I got. And then I get my clap going.
I've watched you on the sideline and I'm waiting for you to pull off your you know, your Chase Coleman.
Get in the stands. Let's play some defense.
Yep.
Yeah. Well, no, Chase has been great this year. He and Castro. Between Chase, Castro, Jade, Poppy's got some nice, he's got like a guitar thing when a dude hits a three. You know, Malachi's got some good stuff when he's over there. Yeah, those guys are they're into it. It's been, we need that though. We need that because of, you know, just the atmosphere.
Right. I'm really happy for Chase that he's getting a lot of love from the media. Corey gave him a lot of love.
Oh, that's his boy.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah, no, but that's nice. I mean, he deserves it. Whenever you're rooting on your team and you're not getting much playing time and you're still part of a team, it just says so much for the morale of the whole program.
Well, I've said this before, he's another coach on the sideline. He's coming up to us as assistants and he's like, hey, they're doing this. It's what they did. You know, we walk through that in the scout, tell so-and-so he needs to, you know, get up there. And, you know, he's always coach. He is great.
Yep. We're gonna get him on the show then at some point.
He's good.
And we can have a coach's skull session with him. All right, while you just mentioned Georgia Tech, let's talk G-Tech. And let's talk first half, a little bit of a struggle. Second half, you guys came out firing. And it seemed like Georgia Tech strategy was going to be similar to Virginia Tech's, where they were going to maybe go under ball screens, sag off the guards, let them shoot, and try to play you guys physically. Yeah, and it seemed to be working a little while.
They did all the above, and it worked. First half, we missed some shots. You know, those guys got to be willing to take those and live with the results. And they defended. I mean, quite honestly, they defended Jay and Sam. I mean, they were in them. Jay got a couple good looks, but they made it tough. They were fronting him in the post. Alvarado once again was in Sam's jersey, it looked like. I mean, he wasn't giving them any easy looks. And then they played well. I mean, they made shots. They're gonna do that. They're a veteran group. They won a ton of games at Georgia Tech. You know, this year, they were, I think, 5-6-0 in the league before we went in there. So we knew what type of night it was going to be. And then the second half, I thought Kihei stepped up. I thought he met the challenge. He was willing to take big shots regardless of and live with the consequences. I thought he was a little hesitant in the first half, didn't want to necessarily take them. But the way they were playing, you had to take those. And then that opened up some other stuff for other guys as we got later in the game. But it was a gritty game, tough game. Quite honestly, one that, you know, it was good to see us be able to pull that out without Sam and Jay really contributing the way they had been.
What was the strategical adjustment at halftime?
Yeah, it wasn't. I mean, honestly, Coach just told those guys, be free. Take what they give you. It wasn't anything we were doing different offensively. It was, if they're going to defend like that, you have to be willing to make plays, take shots, look at it. And I thought Kihei did that. And then again, that allowed those other guys, if, you know, Thomas got some good looks, he, you know, the way they were defending Jay, I mean, they did not want to leave him on separations, which opened up drives. Thomas got a layup at the rim. You know, it just, Reese got a layup on a drive. Like it was, you know, if I'm just thinking back in my head, I thought the way they defended, they were in a catch 22. Do we help at the rim and leave Huff? Do we stay with Huff and open up the rim? And, you know, we were able to capitalize on that. And then we got some stops down the stretch. We were able to get some stops.
You, I'm sure, reviewed the tape several times, a few times or whatever. It seemed as though in the second half, when Tomas started playing more minutes, that seemed to open up the paint and opportunities for Sam and Jay to get a few more shots because they couldn't sag off of Reese and Kihei.
Well, he made shots, which you have to do. I mean, the way that they dared us to take jump shots. Someone other than those two are going to beat us. Trey Murphy made some shots. He had a big three late in that game. Someone other than those two are going to have to score. And those guys, you know, fortunately, Thomas made some jumpers. Kihei made some big shots. And then Jay was able to do some, Jay got some opportunistic baskets. Like I said, that dunk he got off of offensive rebound was big. And then we got stops late.
It seemed as though the second half, the defense, and maybe specifically Jay, just decided he was just going to play tougher when he got that offensive foul called against him. Yeah. Hit a couple of big blocks. He got that steal and the dunk, the emphatic dunk, and he just seemed to play much stronger and much tougher.
Yeah, I think we, you know, we challenged him to continue. Listen, we're not shooting it well in the first half, but our defense has kept us close.
Yeah.
Keep D'ing up. It's going to be one of these games. We'll make some shots in the second half. And we made some shots.
Defense is so valuable at UVA. We all know that.
Oh, no. I mean, it keeps us in games when we're struggling.
All right. So let's talk about defense against North Carolina. 48 mm-hmm. points. Mm-hmm. 7 consecutive victories against UNC.
Yeah.
That's pretty impressive against a team like what's still considered a blue blood.
No, I mean, I think those guys were ready for the challenge. It's Carolina. Anytime you get Carolina, and you see that baby blue, those guys get up for that. And so they were ready. We post-trapped the bigs. We made it tough on the bigs, and that's what they like to do. You know, they want to play inside-out ball. I thought Jay was phenomenal in that game. They want to get out and transition, and we stop some transition buckets. And then the thing I think they do best is offensive rebound. We tried to limit them to not as many second chances, and guys came back to rebound. And those guys had their hands full, but, give Sam Hauser credit. I thought he bodied up some of those bigs, and he made it tough for them to score over the top, and guys came back in and got rebounds.
When North Carolina opposing teams take outside shots, I watch Sammy and what he does, like to go find somebody or find at least one guy, if not two guys, to go mm-hmm. box him out. Mm-hmm. And his IQ makes such a difference in his game.
Well, that's good because we work on it every freaking day, Mark. They better be going to box him. Listen, that's one of our non-negotiables. We can't give up second chance points. We can't give up offensive rebounds. At most positions, we're probably giving up a few inches. And so we got to be able to do those little things. And I thought the guards came back in and got some long. They ran down some long rebounds and they helped the bigs. The bigs had their hands full. I mean, Jay kept saying, I'm going to box my guy out, but you guys got to help me. You got to come back and rebound. So, but Jay, if I'm not mistaken, Jay had a big-time double-double in that game.
I can't remember the stats.
Yeah, I want to say he was 18 and 12.
We're going to show that soon. Yeah, we have a graphic of it that we'll pull up shortly that our intern is putting together for us. That's got to be exciting to be able to beat, two good teams. Saturday night, big win. Everybody's got to be pretty happy beating Carolina. No matter what, no matter where they're ranked, no matter where they are, Carolina is still one of the premier programs in the country and with such a great tradition and history. Whenever you beat them, it's got to feel like a sense of accomplishment, right? But then how much rest did you guys get on Sunday?
It was a quick turnaround. Didn't necessarily do a whole lot physically on the floor, but you had to mentally prepare for what FSU was about to bring. And that was you're talking a whole different, what we got, Jay Huff?
Well, we have them versus the three games that you guys have played, the stats.
Okay. From a mental standpoint, that's a quick turnaround, but totally different game. They're gonna press us, make it tough on us. 18 and 12 in that game, 4 blocks. Yeah, I got a good memory. But you couldn't do but so much from a physical standpoint. But they were in the same boat. They played Saturday. Obviously, they're at home. But I thought. I thought, to be honest, I thought the crowd was a difference maker. I mean, they had fans in that bad boy that made a lot of noise. They had the band. That helps. We know how much that helps at JPJ, and I thought it helped them.
I don't know if I've ever seen a team since I've been watching so hyped up to play you guys. Scotty Barnes was clapping and talking trash, right? Clapping in our faces.
Scotty's been doing that. He plays with that type of energy. That's him. He's always that way.
He's a character, but he seemed even extra amped, and he seemed like he was getting the other team, his teammates amped.
No, I think so, but I think that's quite honestly with that staff, Coach Hamilton. That's what they bought into that. All of those guys, they buy into playing hard, playing for one another, and they play 11 dudes.
Yep.
And they all are excited and juiced up, and they try to play the right way. He brings a different element because that's just him. He's an emotional guy. He's always been that through high school, AAU. And he played. I mean, he was a catalyst for, I mean, I thought we got off to a decent start, got some good looks, and then he comes in and then boom, their defense just picks up, and we're trying to play catch up.
Their length and their athleticism certainly is tremendous and hard to match. And they seem like they were playing, like they had six guys on defense. They were in passing lanes, they were playing great health defense.
They fly around. They switch everything, which, at some point, it's not so much the X's and O's. At that point, it's just your guys got to make plays. You got to drive it, touch the paint, and try to make plays off the drive. I mean, they take you out of offense by all the switching they do.
I didn't see, and I maybe not be remembering this correctly, a lot of sides.
Essentially, you run that, and they're just standing there waiting on top to switch. And there's that, again, the switching kind of just takes you out of offense. So, what we tried to do was space the floor, guys touch the paint. I thought there was some there was some calls. I won't go into too many detail, but the refs erred on the side of aggression. They were the most aggressive team. They got the benefit of the doubt. And that's what, that's what we were trying to tell them in timeouts and at halftime. Listen, they're playing with way more energy. They're playing a little tougher. We got to match that energy and, forget about whatever's happening and just play as hard as you can.
This was the first game since Gonzaga where I said, this team is good, and this may be the best team we're going to play since Gonzaga. And if you remember, after Gonzaga, I said, you know what? We're going to go into the ACC. You're going to play some teams. The ACC is good. It's not great. And you're going to build your confidence. You're going to get some wins. The guys are going to get better and better. And guys have gotten so much better. The team has gotten remarkably better.
Well, right? No doubt. And I thought, to their credit, Mark, you get down, I don't know what the biggest first half deficit was, but it was definitely 20. It could have been a little more than 20. And to be back in the game down 7 with maybe, 12 minutes ago, 11 minutes ago, something like that, 13. I don't know when we
– it was 13 and a half.
Yeah, we cut it to 7. I mean, that's a testament to those guys not giving up. I mean, they fought, but you got to credit them. They shot lights out. I mean, we turned it over, they made us pay. If we turned the ball over, we took an ill-advised shot, or even, took a good shot and missed. I mean, they were down the floor, boom, making open threes. I mean, I don't think they missed a three. It felt like that anyway. I mean,
they shot it very well from three. Yeah. They just seemed to be so much more physically. It was almost that I felt like you guys were just getting bullied a little bit.
Well, I mean,
and defense.
I mean, that's an older team, more experienced. Scotty's an emotional guy, like we talked about, who plays hard and he's a physical guy. I mean, but you look at the body size. I mean, you know, we, you know, Trey and Reese and Caden and Jay, those guys, like, you know, they went at us a little bit. But again, you know, to come back, and like I said, I thought that crowd, they fed off of that. They get it, you know, we're yelling defense on our end. Those dudes, you can hear them, they're yelling offense to shut us up. You know, then they come down and they steal our defensive chant. Like, the crowd's into the game. I don't know if you can hear that on the TV, but it was, you know, the band's there. And, you know, whenever they needed a stop, they got a stop. Whenever they needed to make a shot, they got a shot.
Was that the largest crowd you guys have played against so far?
I think so.
Georgia Tech?
Yeah, I think so. I mean, if I'm not mistaken, there are about 3,500 people in the building. So, I mean, compared to what we're doing, 250 at JPJ.
Yeah, I have a friend in Florida who I just talked to the other day. He said they're not even wearing masks at most of the bars and restaurants, and it's crazy out there. Like, how many people are hanging out, and they're like, the numbers are going up. What? So, if they're allowing that many fans in the stadium, it gives certainly an advantage, right?
We knew what to expect. We knew what type of atmosphere it was going to be. They've got a whole lot to play for. We've got a lot to play for. They were better than us that night. And we'll grow. We'll learn from it. We'll move on. We got to regroup, because we got one Saturday we got to get ready for.
Yep, and we'll get to that later on. The what did you think of the chemistry within you guys, and how you guys stayed together? Was there an issue? Were guys getting upset with each other?
No, it was frustration. I mean, you know, you played it, you coached it. There's some frustration because, you know, you want to do better. You're anticipating to play better in that type of matchup. But you know, we kept saying there's plenty of time, you know, in history has shown, you know, whenever we play them, there's times when they let us back in games. Like, we knew we'd be able to make a run, you know, but can you sustain that? Can you get stops when you need to get stops? You know, our biggest thing was not turning the ball over. Can we take care of the ball, touch the paint, make good decisions? And you know, we, unfortunately, we just didn't execute. We needed an A game, and we didn't get that.
Halftime comes down 24. I think it was 45-25, I believe. Strategically, what was the plan that got you guys and motivated you guys to trim the lead to 7?
Keep doing what we practice. I mean, you know, touch the paint, spread the floor.
Was it like, okay, they're making this sub, when this guy comes in, let's attack him? Was it like,
no, we got to? It wasn't any individual, because look, they switch, they get different matchups. They're comfortable. They'll guard whoever. It was more or less guys that can touch the paint, Kihei and Reese, touch the paint. Everybody else be ready to make plays. But they left the paint open a couple times, but Kihei's just driving, he's getting layups, and you know, but I kept telling the staff afterwards, and Coach Soderberg was reiterating it. It was the defense. I mean, we couldn't stop. We could not get a stop. As right. much as it was what we were doing offensively, we needed to get stops, and we couldn't get stops.
45 points in the first half, 48 total points given up against Carolina.
Right. Yeah. And that's unheard of. I mean, you would think, I mean, a Virginia team, you know, when they need to get some stops, we could get some stops. And they had us on our heels, and we didn't respond.
When you have games like these, and social media and social posts, and do you guys ever get calls in the office, or do you guys hear chatter in the streets or phone calls or anything else being critical of you guys?
I see certain things, because I mean I got Twitter and I got Instagram and I got Facebook, and you know, I kind of follow the recruiting of guys, and and you have to be on social media. So I see some of that. I would put everything in my pocket that Tony doesn't read any of that, and he could care less about, you know, social media and any of those comments. But, and, you know, as you scroll through, you see certain things. Yeah, I mean, and you just got to, I block half of it out.
Some of it's got to be a little bit infuriating, or some of it's got to be like, what is this guy talking about? Or what is this person talking about? Or what is this woman talking about? I'm just going to say
this. It may affect you more because you know what it's like to be a coach. You know, like honestly, I look at it this way, Mark. People are entitled to their opinions, and I know they have them. And I'm probably that way when it comes to my Steelers. I mean, that's just, you know, as a fan, you get upset, you say certain things. Let me just say this. I vent to you guys, and I vent to my friends and my family. And sometimes I put stuff on. But, you know, I think social media has allowed people to drink a lot of that courage juice, and they can go on social media and say anything.
T-Dubs and I were having a conversation last week. Somebody, I saw some post some guy had written that suggested or said, Tony needs to do this. And I'm going to myself, wait a minute. Does Tony come to your job or your house and tell you how to parent or tell you how to go? You guys have lost an average of 3 games per year over the last several years, last 3 or 4 years. Like, who in their right mind has the audacity to tell you guys what you guys are doing? Like, do they understand? I think this comes from social media, yes, drinking the courage juice, but it also comes from, yes, being brave behind the social media bar. It also comes from, I think, the lack of respect and the hard work that you guys put into this, that you guys pour into this nightly, coaching and watching videotapes. And there's so many people that think that they can be coaches, right? Well, they just think they show up and say, okay, run this play, and that's it.
Well, I appreciate, and you know the effort and what we put into this, but I mean, people, they're entitled. They can choose to do that. Tony's not listening to any of this, okay? And I think his track record is pretty damn good. So that does not bother us. It doesn't affect us. Now, here's where I think it's unfortunate. I think the kids, they catch a lot of heat.
Yeah.
And I think that's the unfortunate. Whereas back when I played, you know, there wasn't any of this. You'd have to read certain newspapers before you saw comments. And I think there's just instant information, good or bad, that those kids have to deal with immediately. And I think that's the unfortunate piece. That some people forget that they're kids and that it's a game, and, you know, you don't win them all. You're gonna lose some. And that's the nature of sport. But that's where we tell our kids they gotta put their big boy pants on and not block out all of that.
Right, it almost is like a double-edged sword sometimes, or you have to take the good with the bad, because without the passionate fans, even being critical and showing up on social media, you don't have the level of college basketball where it is today, right? And I think that with social media, it's just impacted and allowed college basketball and college sports in general, football and basketball.
Sports. I mean, that's it. That's everything, Mark. It's sports. It's everything.
Right. But with TV and social media and people being able to comment, right, people are watching. People are so vested in it, and people are so into it, and it's expanded the coverage of it.
Well, it's politics. It's everything. People, there's social media for everything. I mean, people have opinions, and they're voicing them more than they ever have about everything.
Absolutely. So but people beat up Dickie V, for example.
Well, you got to put it in perspective. You just put all of that in perspective. And I mean, if as coaches, if we're living and dying off of social media, we're not going to last long.
Sure. But people beat up Dickie V, for example, and he helped transcend the entertainment of college basketball.
No doubt.
Right. So,
but you can't please everybody all the time.
Yeah. But he gets beat up all over the place. Right. And I was talking to, I don't know if I can say the name, one of the recruits' parents who just mentioned they heard their name, their son's name.
I don't know right? what you're talking about.
Yeah, I know. I'm not asking you to comment on that. And they were so excited to hear their name, their son's name being called out by Dickie V on TV. And I was like, I remember when someone told me that my son's name was called out on yeah. ESPN by Dickie V. And I was like, oh my, I was in heaven.
Right? See, I don't even get, like, it's funny because I don't get games where we even hear the announcers. Like half the games that I watch and break down filming and I'm editing, there's no sound. So unless I've recorded at home, I hardly ever hear any other the commentator. So I don't. It could be a good thing because those guys sometimes, you know, they're second guessing us too, but that's their job.
Well, they do it in a way that's not like really questioned. They say, oh, maybe I would have done this for the most part. Yeah. Dan Dicka, I think that's how you say his name, does it a little bit differently. I actually like him too because I think he knows a lot about the game. He brings a lot to the table.
Dockage,
thank you. Was a guard at Gonzaga years ago. Yeah, Dick Dockage. Yeah, who I like and I think he's good, and I know a lot of people are critical of him. I'm glad you guys have hard shells.
You have to.
I know you do. I know you do. And I do agree with you about the players because I know sometimes at some point you can get to a player, right? And it can impact or affect
Think about this year, and this isn't a normal year. So think about going to class, right? You're worried about your studies. You're worried about playing time. You're worried about lack of playing time. You're worried about making mistakes. And you're in the midst of a pandemic where you can't be around family. You can't go anywhere. Think about what these kids are going through. So now you're dealing with all of that mentally, emotionally, and then you got to listen to social media or see and read stuff that people are saying that don't know you. That's a hard thing. I mean, that's a really hard thing for these kids. And kudos to the kids that are mentally tough that can get through it. But it affects different kids in different ways. And I think that's the unfortunate piece.
Absolutely. Yeah, that's difficult. That's real. 18, 17, 18, 19, 20, yeah. 21 years old.
I mean, as a 47-year-old, I look at things different than I did when I was at UVA playing. I mean, it's different now. I can put certain things in perspective, but, you know, had that been me in 18, 19, 20, that could do some damage. That's tough.
Yep. Absolutely. No question. All right. We're going to change gears here a little bit. And we're going to bring in your main man, my main man, Dougie Fresh.
You're fresh there.
Who may have a question. He may not. He just likes to come on and just rap and just talk.
Okay. We're ready.
Oh, man. You guys took me like 27 different ways. I want to go every way.
Hold on. Dougie, before you go on, I want to mention something that Dougie talks about. A lot of what Dougie says is so on point. And I forgot to mention the UNC game where Dougie has been talking about Roy Williams just playing. Like, he's that dude that's not really changing his game plan no matter what. Oh, right? Yeah. Dougie's like, I don't even know if he scouts. I wonder what he does to prepare for games.
Jay knows. Carolina didn't. They ran their shit back in our day. They ran it very slowly. And then
you were doing so well. You were doing so well. And you didn't get, I don't think you got buzzed one time last week.
Last week I didn't. But I'm saying if somebody like me made a three-pointer, second half, they shut me down. Right, Jay? They ran their stuff and they adjust second half. And you lost my whole train of thought, Marky.
Hold on. Hey, Fresh, before I start talking and you ask me anything, why the hell do you have a Kentucky basketball t-shirt on?
You know, so you don't know this. I lived in Kentucky before Fayetteville, Tennessee. And I'm rooting for Cal. You like Cal. I know that.
I mean, I got a Cal story, yes, but.
I love the fact that Jay Willie, I did it because I knew you would see it. Because the time the AAU tournament over there, whatever, in Brooklyn, me and you and Cal hung out. He was like, Cal was like, yo, Jay, yo, who, yo, you, yo, Brian, whatever. So that's why.
Dougie, we're hearing static. We're hearing static. I'm hearing static at least.
Because he's wearing that damn Kentucky jersey. That t-shirt.
I'm from Georgetown, Kentucky. My best friends growing up are from there, so they sent it to me. Come on, hold up.
I won't hold that against
you. Did I see on the pregame show and the halftime show and the postgame show, Dougie gets up and out of his chair. His kids are jumping on the bed. It is hilarious. It is the funniest thing.
It might be because nobody sent me the Virginia gear, okay? But that's okay. I have an idea for the Jay Willie show. There are three doors behind it, which are way too many. So we should have a fan thing. Where is Cam?
Do you want to go look behind door number one?
Exactly. So where's Cameron? Which door is he behind?
You know what, Dougie, I don't know how many homes have three doors in one room. That's pretty nice.
That door goes to the hallway, and these are closet doors. Anything else?
Dougie, can we do
anything? My apartment has, like, doors everywhere, which is so made me think of it. So.
Dougie, can we do anything about your static?
I don't know. I'm not sorry. My bad?
I'm afraid if you go off and go on. Do you want to try logging off and come back on?
Yes.
Jay Wills, I'm telling you, Dougie is the most entertaining dude.
Is that better or no?
No.
It's still static. It's that Jersey City static.
Yeah. Edge. That edge static.
Do you want to try to go up and come back on?
Let me try. I have great questions for the record.
Wait, keep talking. No, you didn't fix it. You're still here.
Better?
And now it's affecting my voice. Jay Wills. Dougie, try to log off and log back in, if you don't mind. And I'm going to talk to Jay.
All right, real quick. I'm not good now?
No.
You just made it worse.
Yeah. I'm going to talk to Jay Wills about Duke. If you log off and log back on, we'll come back to your question. All right. He is one of the most hilarious dudes I've ever met. He's such a great dude. He's so UVA, too. He's so passionate about the program.
He loves
it. Awesome. Oh, okay. So we're going to go to a couple of questions then before we go to Duke, and then we'll go to a couple of questions. We'll come back to Dougie, and then we'll go to Duke, I guess. All right. Let's talk about Trey being taken out with two fouls in the first half against...
Against who?
So here's the question. On the next podcast, and someone asked Williford what the rationale is for taking Trey out when he got two fouls in the first half against Florida State. Is it a coach's rule of thumb? That's just analytical, not smart. If it were Jay, I get it, but Trey has never fouled out of a game. Let him play with two, knowing he's not risked to foul out. Now, for me, like, again, maybe I just get too defensive, but that's from K-Lo Fron. Like, at some point, it's like, how much have you been following the program? Or maybe he's saying, you know, I followed the program, but even still, at some point, let's make some adjustments. I know that, you know, when guys get two fouls, they're not playing the rest of the first half. The question is for you, Jay Wills, not for me.
Yeah, we've done it ever since Tony's been here. I mean, I think history shows that that's the way we do it. And quite honestly, I think it's worked out for the most part where those guys play better coming back in, not having picked up a third. And we preserve them for the most part. And other guys over the years have stepped up in that role. When that guy gets in foul trouble, we've had guys come in and play well, and it hadn't been an issue. So I'm not sure what with Trey being on the floor with two fouls or not against FSU the other night would have made a huge difference. I mean, they
– Right. I don't want to discourage people from asking tough questions. I really don't. And I think there's some tough questions.
I don't know. Something like that.
No, I know. But something like that for me is like, okay, if we're going to be critical where it's not going to be strategic, like if you guys go 33-0, would that help? Right? Like at what point is someone not going to ask like a question that's
like, it's okay. I mean, I listen again. I think Tony's always done that. We'll continue to do that. I think the numbers show, I'm not sure what he's referencing, but I think the numbers have shown that it's worked for us. And again, you know, Trey being out there, Trey fouling out, not sure that would have helped the other night.
All right, T-Dubs, you have another one. I saw something that I'm not going to mention a name. I'm just going to ring the bell. Something about someone starting with a K. Second letter was P. Since I have to say it, I'm going to read it. I'm going to listen for the bell. Protect your ears if you're bell sensitive. Ken Palm has a stat called two foul participation. Coach Bennett is among the most. This is an answer to the guy.
This is along the same lines. I don't know what Ken Palm has. I really.
Just so you know, I don't know if you're aware that anytime Ken Palm is mentioned, there's a bell.
Okay.
All right. Dougie curse bell.
I gave my answer to that question. I'm not sure Ken Palm has any relevance to what we do.
Yeah. I know Dougie was trying to get back in. Let's see if he's available or if T-Dubs is going to go to another question. T-Dubs, should we go to another question?
I think that was it. That was the last question.
Okay, thanks, T-Dubs. All right, if Dougie's not ready yet, let's talk Duke.
Let's talk Duke.
Do you feel like this is the same Duke and are guys excited to play Duke as they normally would be without Jalen Johnson and without Duke being so talented? And
I'll stand to correct you in regards to talent. I think Duke has a ton of talent. Their record may not indicate how good they are, but from a talent standpoint, they've got talent. And yes, I think our guys, it's like Carolina coming in our building, and it'll be like that going into Duke. Our guys will be excited to play. I mean, if you're not excited to play against Carolina, you're not excited to play against Duke, any of the traditional blue bloods, then you're in it for the wrong reasons. I mean, those are the games you get up for. And, you know, have they won games that they in the past they would have won? No, this year is totally different. But there's some talent on that floor. I mean, we got our hands full. You know, how do you guard Matthew Hurt at the five? You know, when he's playing the five. They got some guards that'll put pressure, try to get down the floor, touch the paint. We got to be ready to play. I mean, you can throw records out the window. Those dudes, it's still Duke. It's still that Duke program and that pedigree and that history.
So I'm watching Duke play Notre Dame a couple of weeks ago or last week. And it's like you have guys like Zion and Marvin Bagley and Wendell Carter Jr. and RJ Barrett and that level of talent. And I'm looking at these guys. And they're all, yes, they are talented. But when you talk about the talent level between this tier's team and those teams, it's not the same. And we can maybe go it is.
So are there one and done pros? That's for the NBA to decide. I think Jalen Johnson is pretty daggone good. You know, he's not there now. But, is that that one and done talent? No, but do they have pros? Who knows? Yeah, they. Those guys could be pros in a year, two, three, however long it takes. But, I mean, they got talent. Let's not mistake that. So, no, it's not Zion, but there are not many Zions. You know, it's not the Bagleys and the Jason Tatums. But you got to be ready to go in there and play. I mean, they're going to put a game plan together that we got to be ready to
tackle. So, Jay Huff, I'm sorry.
Yeah, go ahead.
Jay Huff, Kihei, those two were around for those teams with Zion, and Jay Huff's been there forever. Is he as excited to play against?
He's always excited to play against those guys.
In his backyard.
Duke, yeah, I mean, that's back home. That's, you know, to play against those Carolina teams, those guys get excited for. When we were at NC State, Cedric and McCoy and McCorkle, I mean, they were giddy at shoot around. Like those kids, they enjoy being back home. Like they grew up watching that. So for them to have a chance to play against those teams, it means a lot to them.
Yep. I think we could probably all predict your answer and maybe even say it with you when I ask you, what's the game plan? And how did, let's, you know what, while we have Dougie on, Dougie's guy on UVA is Reese Beekman.
Yep.
Loves Reese. I could ask Dougie, Reese could go Fresh, over 18.
Fresh, what the heck did you do? That's a whole different look you got now.
Yeah, I changed it up. I'm still Kentucky.
But you turn the lights on in it? What'd you do?
The whole thing, Jay. It's a whole new visual.
All right. I like it.
By the way, Jay, early in the session, you seemed down, low energy, and I think Marky, your guy, brought you back, and your energy is much better now.
I got some energy.
No, you always do.
It's been a long week, Fresh. It's been a long week.
No, I know. And I'll say something about the Florida State game, if I can interject, because I have FOMO. I'm full on fear of missing out. Listen to you guys. That's a tough trip, man. It's a longer flight, and we did it with propellers. You guys probably do it in the PJ, which means private jet. And we get home at 2 a.m., 3 a.m., and we had class at 8 a.m. You know, it was tough. I think mine and your time, we were 1-2. We beat them once, lost.
At least it wasn't a 9 o'clock start. You know, that could have been.
Yeah. We had that one time, I think.
Yeah.
When Corey had that crazy dunk. So, sorry, I'm.
No.
I just have FOMO. You know what?
While you're on the subject of Florida State.
Yep.
Jay Wills, how does Leonard Hamilton do it year after year after year, getting such good players?
They
escalate.
They recruit to their system, and those kids buy in. I mean, yeah. For him to have as many kids that buy into that rotation and playing those minutes is a testament to his staff, he and his staff. I mean, but it when stuff works, I think kids ultimately buy in. Like, yeah, coach, you know what you're talking about. And they've proven that they can win and win at a high level. And I think, you know, they've done a phenomenal job. They get talent, but they get talent that stays. Now they Pat Williams left early, and I'm just thinking a couple guys over the last few years have left early. But for the most part, I mean, MJ Walker is a senior, I think. I mean, seems like he's been there forever.
But their kids have less minutes, right?
I looked at the stat
sheet. They're playing 12 kids or whatever. So. Right.
So I looked at the stat sheet and the kid, oh God, number one, what's the kid?
Beat me up, Scotty.
Rashawn.
Raekwon.
Raekwon.
They have two Raekwons.
So Raekwon play like 24 minutes, but he was so efficient in those minutes.
Yeah.
And he's
24 is low, right? If you're a big time guy.
Level. Yeah.
Man, Corey would have transferred in 7 minutes if he played if he played 24 minutes.
How does Scotty Barnes, who was recruited by a ton of schools, and I understand that Duke is not necessarily or South Florida is not necessarily a recruiting haven for Duke, from what I understand. How does Scotty Barnes end up at Florida State? Like, he had to be recruited by everybody, right? And to buy into, I may only play 15 to 24 minutes a game.
Right.
Yeah, I think, you know, it's a testament to that staff, man. Those guys, those kids have bought in and believe. And I was talking to CY, one of their assistant coaches, Charlton Young. And, you know, we admire each other's programs, and we talk before games. And he said, man, y'all are good again. I said, so are you guys before the game. Right. He said, how do you keep doing? I said, the same way you keep doing, you know. We got a system, the kids buy in, and they try to play defense. So you know, we're gassing each other up, but I see what they've done over the years, and those kids have bought into playing defense and playing for each other.
Yeah.
And that'll keep you in most games, and you'll be able to win most games. And then they sprinkle in those pros and those, you know, those McDonald's All-Americans that they occasionally get. So,
yep. All right, Dougie, you're on.
All right,
Dougie Fresh, you're on.
All right. Aside from the Three Doors, I was thinking about nicknames because, and in the vein of YB having the lyrics tonight, right? And me and Jay always had, we have a nickname for each other. When we talk to each other, we say, has to be. And that's based off of EPMD, Jason Has to Be Fresh to make him dance, whatever. So in all your years, in your kids in your program, who has the coolest nickname? We had YB, we had Be Nice, Big Red, on and on. Do you guys still have that, or is it just all handshakes and like, let's go?
So, yeah, you know, so they call Hauser Big Smooth.
Yeah, that's whack. Go ahead.
Okay. All right. So, DeAndre was Drado, which
that's good.
I don't know where that came from, but that's what they call Dre, Drado. Yep. I'm not sure. Everything else was like, I mean, there were initials, like we, you know, J Dub, right, and J Willie and
yeah,
TJ and.
That's true.
Yeah.
I got a
part
Big June.
Well, I got a part B to that question.
I'm not sure. I don't know.
But we had good ones, no? Like, Be Nice. Like, where's Be Nice come from? Be Nice.
Yeah.
Jay Crott. All right.
Yeah, I don't know if they're, who was the nickname. No, I don't know.
So, can I go, Mark? You got a question?
No, go ahead. We'll skip my part. Go ahead.
So, my next question is, you have some Boston roots. You're a Richmond boy, but you coach in Boston. So do you have any like favorite spots in Boston that you would like to go back and frequent? Like a bar and grill or a restaurant or places? When you were an assistant coach, that was your first job, right?
I have 5 years at BU.
Yeah, but your first job, you're not, you know, you're yeah, climbing. Yeah. So you couldn't go to the real spots like Havlicek did. So
no, I wasn't in that circle. I didn't run in those.
Right, circles. Right. So if you could ever go back at some point to Boston for whatever reason, where would you frequent?
my favorite,
if it ever happened.
My favorite spot in Boston is right on the Green Line.
Yep.
It's T. Anthony's. It's a little pub. Well, there's a T's and a T. Anthony's. The pub's no longer there, but the restaurant. Yep. Same family owned it. And I ate lunch there every day.
Oh, and wow.
And that would be Carmella. She still, whenever we're in Boston, we order food for the bus post game and they deliver to the bus. And so I would go say hi to everybody at T's.
So so if you ever lived there, would you be a suburb guy or a Boston guy?
Where are you going with these Boston questions, Fred?
There's an opening. So I'm just curious. I'm curious about you. I don't care about the hyperbole.
I lived in Quincy Center when I was first in Boston.
Yep.
Which is right on the outskirts of the city, right on the Dorchester Boston line. I don't know. I wouldn't necessarily live in Quincy again, I don't think.
Right. But if someone's wife happened to be a big time lawyer, would it be easier for her to get a job in Boston?
Well, probably that's so. Where she started. She first started in the Boston office. So.
Oh man, we're too good, Margie. See this? Okay.
I just
go who's.
I'm not sure. I think I know what Dougie's getting to and alluding to. And I know several weeks ago when you were nominated, when you were awarded top ACC coach, and we talked, I told you, I talked to Jeff Goodman that day, and he said, Jay Woolley should be hired as the next BC coach.
Well,
I think that's where Duck is going with this.
I see. I get it. And you guys know me all too well. I'm locked into currently what's going on here. You know, if I get called or contacted, you know, obviously that's one thing. But for now, I'm all UVA.
Nah, we know.
I'm focused on finishing this year and getting ready for, knock on wood, postseason.
All right, this will be my second consulting job, Jay Woolley. And by the way, full disclosure, I want Jason in Charlottesville forever. But
you said that numerous times to me.
You remember?
Yeah.
Yep. Remember American? I was like, dude, the best thing is don't get it. Just stay there, man.
Yeah. No, you said.
And I think that was when you and your wife bought me dinner at Houston's.
Houston's. Yeah.
And Marky, me and his wife Clemina, who's a lawyer, way more intelligent than me. We got into a little bit of a discussion about not politics, but about something. And he's like, "Fresh, don't even try." I was like, "I get it.
Don't worry, you're not gonna win."
I couldn't win. I tried.
She's very passionate, and she's tough. Because I remember being in Bahamas, and I said something, and I was like, I expressed a little bit of frustration. I was like, I hope that so-and-so is okay with his role. And she's like, we got this, don't worry about it. The coaching staff has this. And I was like, okay. And clearly she was right? Because the ultimate prize is the national championship and you guys went on to win the national championship.
Yeah. So Sorry, Ty, wait your turn.
Exactly.
She's seen and heard a lot over the years.
Yeah. So I'm forever listening to her from now on. When she calmed me down and she said, we got this. And she proved to be right in a most like implausible path to doing something, getting something, winning something, right? As Dougie will always tell you. So big ups to Kwamina.
Yeah.
So hopefully if she's watching, hello. And if not, you'll Jay Williams.
She's not. She's actually downstairs on the call. I can hear it in her office right below me.
Yeah. So you'll tell her that we were talking about her, I'm sure. And I'm sure she's going to watch later. All right, Dougie, you asked not just one, not just two, but like seven questions.
I have three more, by the way. And I can't, I won't, this I won't. The,
this, you is the, this is the fresh segment, not the fresh question of the day.
And it's, by the way, it's no longer the fresh questions, the maybe question, because he gets on.
Can I ask one more or not? Or no, I'm out.
Why not, Dougie? You know what? Let's ask Jay Woolley. Are you okay? Dougie, ask me one more.
That's my guy.
I was thinking about something. You know why? Because I was thinking about his mom. Jay Willie's mom. And Jay, I think about you way too much now because of this show. But, you know, I was back at Jay Willie's house. He had a barbecue and his mom was there. And his mom and dad, they greet me like the same every time. Are the parents still the same way? Like, your mom, big hug, loves my mom, you know, knows her a little bit or a lot or whatever. Your dad treats me well. Are the parents the same way on this team, which I think is important or interesting?
So they don't get up as much now, obviously. But whenever
I mean the players' parents.
Oh, okay. So
as a unit.
Yeah. Yeah, I think they're really close. I think they now COVID has changed some of that,
yeah.
Especially, you know, during the move-in time and when they're going from dorm to apartment, and parents are always bringing food and cooking and doing stuff whenever they come in town. And during breaks, not this year, but over the years, guys that have lived close have had some of the kids that live further away and some of the international kids, they've allowed them to stay with them and come up for weekends and do stuff like that. So. Yeah, the families are all close. You know, even when it's, you know, same like positions, though the parents tend to be able to get over those when there's even competition involved. So
Yeah, that's the best. I love it.
I thought you were talking about my folks. My dad still calls and
he'll tell
the guys, he'll coach more than me when he sees the guys after. Mm-hmm. I'm like, Dad, leave him alone, man.
But I always remember June's dad was, and your dad, like kind of the same vein. You know, June at I think it was Corey Alexander's wedding. June was like, "Yo, Fresh, you and Hav, y'all the man." And your dad treats me so well, and your mom, big hugs, and that's what matters. So,
you made their night because they listen.
Yeah,
yeah,
that's how it works, right? It goes back.
Yep. All right, Dougie. Thanks so much for joining us as
always. All right.
See you next week.
Dougie, I'll see you on the Foch's Corner.
I'm going to think of a question next week. Peace.
All right. Later, Dougie. He's the freaking best. I love Dougie. He really is. All right. Are we going to handle Duke?
I mean, we're going to prepare the right way. I'm looking back and forth at my phone. They're playing Wake Forest as we speak. So hopefully I catch the second half of that.
Yep. I have not caught a score. I haven't looked.
22-13 with 10 minutes to go and 9 minutes to go in the first half.
All right. Let's go Wake. I think you guys win by 7.
I want to get back on the right track and
absolutely.
Defend.
Last question of the night. Is there an ACC tournament?
Yeah, I think so. I mean, everything that I've heard, I think the league offices want it. I think the commissioner wants it. And we'll see. I'm just worried about Saturday. I'll let those guys handle, you know, what's down the line.
Okay. All right, Jay Wills, we're a little bit past an hour. Always such a great pleasure having you on.
Hey, we were rolling. That's all right. Fresh had a bunch of questions.
Right. I think you're right. We're going to have to change that to the Fresh segment of the week.
Fresh segment. It'll be, we'll have to give him like 5 minutes.
I know. It's true. Absolutely. All right. Good luck on Saturday.
Appreciate you.
And you're having a great season. Keep it up.
Thank you. Hey, how's Ty doing before we go? You doing
all right? He's okay. They're playing right now. He's in the G League recovering. Spoke to him earlier today. Still struggling with his ankle.
Is he on restriction, minute restriction?
He's not on restriction minute, but he's still recovering from his ankle. He just says it's not quite strong enough yet.
Yeah.
So hopefully he's a couple more weeks or a week or another week or so, and he's back up.
All right, good. Well, wish him well. Tell him we're all thinking about him.
I definitely will. I appreciate that. Say hi to the boys.
We'll do.
Hi, Kwamina, and I look forward to seeing you soon. And if not,
next week.
Next Tuesday, we should be back on, right? There's no conflicts on Monday night.
As long as we're not playing that night.
Right. All right. Always a pleasure. For Jason Williford, I'm Mark Jerome on the Jay Willie Show. Oh, man, while we had Dougie might have done a rendition of the Jay Willie song.
No. We'll go off on that, Mark. We don't need him to come back on.
All right. All right, Jay Wills. I'll talk to you soon. Be good.
All right. Have a good one.
Take care, everybody.